The following audio is from The Well. We are a church that is committed to gospel growth, family formation, and missional engagement in Hastings, Nebraska. More information about The Well can be found at www.thewellhastings.com. We hope the message you are about to hear will spur you on to growing in the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be formed as a follower of Jesus, and to be engaged in the mission of Jesus to seek and to save the lost within a yard of hell.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Mulman. I am a grateful believer and a lover of the Word of God. And I get the opportunity just to share the Word with you today. What an honor and blessing it is to be here. I am so unworthy, but my Lord and Savior, He is so worthy and allows me to do this today. I'd like to say just a little prayer before I get started. Lord, please open up your word to our hearts, to our minds, to our souls. Infiltrate us deeply with what you have for us today, Lord. As we go through Psalm 69, Father, help me to be clear. And help there be a great understanding, and that you, Lord, would have a positive outcome in our lives and our hearts. And we continue on as we go from this place, living in your word. In Christ's name I pray, amen. This morning we're in Psalm 69, so if you have your Bible, open it up. This is a large psalm. I started looking at this about 2 months ago, and I realized there's 5 sermons in this psalm. So get prepared. We're going to be here for about 3 hours and 45 minutes, okay? That ain't happening, but I can't stand up that long. No. I might need one. I may need one. No, I promise not to do that to you. But this psalm is one of the most quoted psalms in the New Testament. There is so much about it. If I go into where all of those things are quoted in the rest of the Bible, we will be here for days. There are so many different places where the words here line up exactly in Job, in Romans, in the Gospels. There's so many places in here that they line up that this is absolutely meant for our hearts and to change them to know Christ more. I really believe that, and I hope that as I try and convey the word, that you'll find out why I say those things. So, Psalm 69, verse 1. Save me, O God, for the waters have threatened my life. I have sunk in deep mire, and there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and a flood of water overflows me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes fail while I am waiting for my God. Those who hate me without cause are more than the hairs on my head. Those who would destroy me are powerful, being wrongfully my enemies. What I did not steal, then I have to restore. We're going to pause here, and as we go through this, I'm going to pause in different areas. This first part of this psalm points out to me, this is David writing this psalm, it points out to me that David's a real man, that he's afraid of some things. The threat of water flowing over your head and the threat of the flood coming in on you is a real personal thing to me. I'm scared to death of being held underwater. So much so when I was young, I would wrestle in high school, and I had a coach tell me, just act like they're trying to hold your head underwater. After he told me that, I never lost another match. Because I thought that that's what the truth, and I could fight and fight and fight. David's a man that fights. He's a battler. He's a warrior. But these things are coming on him and overflowing him, and he's asking for God's help in this. He's just confessing God his need for God. That's something that we need to do, I need to do every day. Confess my need for him because I don't know what's coming at me, and I'm afraid of some of the things that might come my way. There is so much in this very first part. Those who hate me without cause are more than the hairs of my head. Well, I'm losing my hair pretty rapidly, and I still have a lot of hair on my head. God knows every one of them. Everyone that falls to the ground, he knows it's there. He knows those things. But he also knows that the enemies that I have, where they are, where they're from, who they are. Those who would destroy me are powerful. Why has anything got power against you? Why does anything have power over you? Because you allow it. Especially the things that are unseen. If you believe in God, you believe in Jesus Christ, you've given him power over you. He's unseen. No one of us has seen God. We wouldn't be able to stand it if we did. No one of us has seen Jesus Christ. We wouldn't be able to lift our heads to look at him as human beings without his blood and saving grace. We wouldn't be able to even look on him. So the powers that he's talking about here, he's allowed these powers to overtake him. And I really believe that the powers are coming from the thoughts in his mind and the things that he fears, the unfounded fear that he faces every day. I don't know about any of you, but myself, I have the biggest struggle in my life is with the unfounded fears that overtake me. And there's so many, and they are my enemy, and I try everything I can to fight that. I've set it up here before, probably a couple weeks ago. I'm afraid of the dark. So what do? I keep my house as dark as I possibly can. I walk around at night without turning lights on. My toes don't like that, but I do it anyway. Just to prove that there's nothing there and I'm not afraid, but then I'm still afraid. I don't know what's coming at me and I don't know where it's going. So what I did not steal, I have to restore. When those things come against me, I've done nothing wrong. But I have to find the way to get past that. That is a restoring of my own mental well-being so I can move on with my day. If I really think about it, there's so many things in my life and so many fears that I have, it could stop me completely. And I would just stand or just sit in front of the TV oogling at something that I shouldn't be watching anyway. I'd be staring at a computer screen or my phone all day long. And never getting past what was there. So I have to find that inside of me so I can restore those things. Because what I did not steal, then I have to restore. Oh God, it is you who knows my folly, and my wrongs are not hidden from you. May those who wait for you not be ashamed through me. Lord God of hosts, may those who seek you not be dishonored through me, God of Israel. Because for your sake I have bore reproach. Dishonor has covered my face. I have become estranged from my brothers and an alien to my mother's sons. For zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept in my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became byword to them. Those who sit at the gate and talk about me, and those who sit at the gate talk about me, and I am the song of drunkards. Because of my love for Christ, because of our love for Christ, people are going to come against us. There's only about 25%, and I think that's a pretty high number, of real believers in the United States. So 75% of the people that you're going to bump into every day, unless you're in a church setting or unless you're surrounding yourself with your brothers, you're going to have to be out into the world, and you are going to have a reproach. Reproach, I always thought reproach was a pretty harsh word, But it actually is a gentle way of telling somebody they're wrong. It's actually meant to be a gentle push in the right direction. That's what that's for. But as I look at these reproaches that come upon David, being estranged from my brothers, I've been that. God's restoring that slowly. But it was because of my faith that that got worse. Because my faith in Christ, I've heard, you think you're holier than I am. You think you're holier than thou. You think you're better than me. You think, because you know some scripture and you can talk about scripture, that you know everything. I have never made a claim like that, ever. Ever. But I've had that kind of pushback from other people that make me feel like I'm estranged and pushed away from society and from my family. Some of my friends, I have dear friends that are non-believers. I have friends that are atheists. I have friends that absolutely wouldn't believe. I couldn't make them believe. I pray for them, and maybe someday it will happen. I try not to pray for something bad to happen, but if I confess my own thing, it wasn't until everything got so bad that I fell on my knees and I knew the only thing that could save me was Jesus Christ. I had to get to that point. So, when I pray for a non-believer, I might be praying some real destruction on them from the world, but salvation on them from Christ, which is much better and can overpower everything. Jesus, you're all I need. That song that keeps ringing through my head, He is all I need. He's all that everyone needs. Most people don't know it. Most people won't understand that. Because, like me, you think you can heal it yourself. Okay? When I fasted, when I wept in my soul fasting, it became my reproach. So my fasting turned against me. The things that I tried to deny myself turned against me, and they proved to be a wrong desire because I wasn't doing it in the desire that it was meant to be done. The apostles didn't fast while Jesus was with them because Jesus was with them. You don't mourn and fast when the bridegroom is with you, is what Jesus said. There will be a time where He won't be, and you will fast. So, when I am in good relation with the Holy Spirit and with the Word in front of me, and I'm working on that, I am not fasting. In fact, I indulge myself with the good things that God's given me. But when I fast, and it becomes my reproach, that's a problem for me, because that reproach is coming from inside of me, and how do I shut that up? When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them, those people looking at me. When I put on the scriptures and I acted holier than thou, or acted in a way that they believed that I was thinking that way, when I acted as if I knew more than somebody else, when I acted as if I was better than somebody else. As Christians, I want to tell you right now, we are the bottom of the barrel. We're as low as we can get. We are the dregs. That's where we are. Praise God, that's where we are. Because everything else is human brought to us. And we compare ourselves to human, we can win. Compare yourself to God. There's no reward there. David had a lot of things that people could reproach. In 2 Samuel, well, we got Bathsheba, and what he did there, the adultery that he committed there. There's huge reproach there. There's all kinds of things. They sang songs about David and Solomon, or no, Saul, Saul slayed his thousands and David his 10,000s, which made Saul his immediate enemy. The anointed one of God turned out to be David's enemy. Even when David was also anointed of God, the anointing left Saul and was put on David. But David never saw that as a victory. He saw that as, I will honor what God has done, even if God's taken that away from the man he's done it with. He did that. So the songs that drunkards sing, I've been that guy. You know? I've been the guy that people would look at and say, if I ever get as bad as that guy, you probably should shut me off. I thought that way, but I was that guy. Thank God he shut me off. But those things, those who sit in the gate talk about me. Have you ever been gossiped about? Nobody answers anything I say. Yes, I've been gossiped about a lot, Larry. Have you ever? Have you ever felt that? Have you ever heard that? Have you ever just perceived that people were talking about you? Even if it's true, if you're not part of that conversation, it's gossip. Gossip equates with murder in the Bible. They're the same level of sin. There's a way that your words can destroy somebody else. It's the same as murder. Gossip sometimes is true, sometimes it's not. We look at it, it's a malicious attack against a human. And if it's a malicious attack against us, it's a malicious attack against God. Because we belong to God and are made in His image and have been given that adopted authority. And that's what they're doing. This is horrible. So gossip, if we gossip, we fall away. We do not lose our salvation, but we fall away from the grace of God when we do that. We're bringing condemnation down on ourselves because of that. And that condemnation probably won't come from outside. It will come from inside. And if it doesn't, the Holy Spirit's not working in you, and maybe you might want to check and see if you really are a believer. If your conscience still sounds like your mom, that's not the Holy Spirit. Okay? All these guys are laughing because all of us have mothers. And yeah, that was my conscience, my mom, yeah. Yeah. When I think about that, I remember that. I thank God that I have the Holy Spirit and He corrects me. We're going to move on. But as for me, my prayer is to you, Lord, at an acceptable time. Oh God, in the greatness of your loving kindness, answer me with your saving truth. Deliver me from the mire and do not let me sink. May I be delivered from my foes and the deep waters. May the flood of water not overflow me, nor the deep swallow me up, nor the pit shut its mouth on me. Answer me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. According to the greatness of your compassion, turn to me, and do not hide your face from your servant. I am in distress. Answer me quickly. Oh, draw near to my soul and redeem it. Ransom me because of my enemies. You know my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. All my adversaries are before you. If we can identify who our enemies are, most of my enemies, if I have enemies on the outside here, I don't know it. They're not doing a very good job of it because I really don't know it. There's a lot of people that don't understand me, but as soon as I start talking with them, there's an understanding there. They're not my enemies. God's given me the ability to love other people because He commanded that. And when I told Him I can't do that, He did it for me and made a difference for me so I could do that. I could stand in front of you guys and tell you all, I love you. And I look you right in the eye and tell you I love you. And I want you to know that's from the deepest part of my soul. That's from the deepest part of my heart. I really mean that. I want the very best for everybody I come in contact with. I don't want to be the winner. All I want to be is there. So, now I went off on a track that I wasn't planning on going, so I'm going to stop that. We have to identify who our enemies are. If we're honest with ourselves, if I'm honest with myself, most of my enemies are right in here. The noise from my past, the things that I've done, the places that I've been, the people that I've hurt, they're all still right here. When I lose sleep at night, the things that are rolling through my head, I have something terrible's happened to me lately that I remember stuff I did in the fourth grade. And I try and figure out how can I make amends for this, and then I realize I'm already making amends for that. I'm living a different life than that would allow what I did then to have an effect on somebody now. I'm working toward helping other people that are in a situation. I'm working toward helping people understand that these things, even though they feel so real, are very insignificant. There's very little that they give it that they have power over. They don't have power that we don't give them. Those enemies that are in my head, I have to name them. The seven deadly sins calls it out. There's greed, there's lust. The major one for me is pride. When pride starts to take over, I am lost in my sin. It's very easy for me to fall back into that. Sin cannot overtake me again, but I can sure step right back into it anytime I want. Anytime I want. We all can. But we have this Savior that says, oh, come here, let's wash that off of you. Let's get rid of that one. If I were to be healed from all of those things, who would I be? There's a song by Jelly Roll that says, I hate the man I was, but he's the one that built me. The horrible man that I was made me who I am today. He did not save me. He pushed me into a point where I had to ask for a Savior and to receive a Savior. That's what happened. Those are the enemies. Those are the things that are trying to destroy me. That's the shame that I carry on me. I am never ashamed about preaching the Word of God. I'm never ashamed about mentioning Jesus Christ to somebody. I'm never ashamed when somebody comes at me and says, your Bible doesn't really tell the truth. When someone wants to argue about that with me, I'll argue with them, but I'm not going to waste a whole lot of time trying to convince somebody that already thinks that they're absolutely right and there's no way that I can change their mind. No. People that are willing to listen and to hear, those are the ones that I'll spend my time on. Ones that don't, God continues to move them away from me anyway. Not me. I don't have to push them away. God does it for me. And that's a blessing from him. So knowing that my adversaries are before God, he already knows them. He already recognizes the problems inside of me and the problems outside of me. He knows that they're there. He's not going to let that overtake me. He's not going to let those things destroy me. Verse 20. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am so sick. I looked for sympathy, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food and vinegar and thirst, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. The worst things and the best things that ever happened to me had to do with a broken heart. I don't know which one of the broken hearts is the best. Because when my heart's broken because of something I've done or something that comes against me, I automatically decide I'm returning to God and I'm asking for help and forgiveness and saving grace. I'm asking for mercy from Him. But if I am looking for comforters, I look for sympathy, and there was none, and for comforters, but none could be found. None could be found. I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of friends. But if I'm thinking wrong and I'm allowing these thoughts that I talked about earlier to overtake me and I try and explain to them this is what's going on, they better not comfort me. They shouldn't comfort me. Because comforting me keeps me in a position where I'm not asking for God's help. And it keeps me in a position that I'll continue to grow on the things that I think are wrong, not the things that I know are right. I found none. They gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst, they gave me vinegar. So they fed my own words back to me. My words are poison to myself, and they have been my whole life. My words are poison to myself, and I make that happen. I allow that power to come on top of me. Those things, those are what the ones that I comfort, the ones, the believers, my brothers, believers, that I go to, those are the things that they can reproach me with, and it heals me. It pushes me in a direction that I need to go instead of leaving me in the dust or in the mire or in the overflow of water. What happened? Is there monsters behind me? Monsters back there? Okay, somebody keep the monsters away from me. Ah. May their temple before them be a snare. And when they are in peace, may they become a trap. Who's he talking about? He's mad because his comforters didn't comfort him, but confronted him. That's what he's talking about. So here we go. May their table be a snare become a snare, and may their peace be, when they are in peace, may it become a trap. May their eyes grow dim so that they cannot see, and make their loins shake continually. Pour out your indignation on them, and may your burning anger overtake them. May their camp be desolate. May none dwell in their tents, for they have persecuted him whom you yourself have smitten. And they tell of the pain of those you have wounded. Add iniquity to their iniquity. May they not come into your righteousness. May they be blotted out from the book of life. May they not be recorded with the righteous. Man. Is David really that harsh? Did David really want those things to happen that way? He's asking God to do that. He's asking for revenge. He's asking for God not only to avenge him, but to destroy those people. He's asking that they lose any honor that they think they have. He's asking for them, for all of these that are doing this, to be utterly destroyed, humiliated before men, rejected by God, and be lost to everything. May they be blotted out of the book of life, and may they not be recorded with the righteous. Don't even give them a chance for salvation. The lies that are in my head, those need to be rebuked and sent away. The lies, the words, the worries that come from the world at me, Christ did not do that. He did not call me to do that. David is speaking out of pain, fear, and anger. He's in a depressed spot, and he thinks that what he wants will be for the better. He's not looking at the way the Lord wants to look at these things. He's looking at what poor David wants. when poor David got what he wanted, he ended up with Bathsheba and a dead child, guilty of murder and adultery and breaking all kinds of sins. That's what David got when he got what he wanted. He should know that. But God gives him the right to express all that anger. And in fact, I really believe what David's doing is confessing the anger that he has inside of him that he doesn't want to have there. God gives us the opportunity to tell him anything. Lord, I hate my neighbor because they won't cut the grass the same way I cut the grass. They make me get out of bed and do the trash can every week. I have to do this for them. I park my car differently because of them, and I'm tired of doing it, and blah, 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 blah. I can complain to God all I want, and he'll accept my complaints. He gives me comfort. He allows me to unburden myself from those things. And that's what David's doing here. His anger and his indignation, the things that he is so mad about his enemies, whether they're from without or from within, the things he's so mad about, that's what he's condemning. That's what he's after. That's why he's doing that. It's because God allows him to. It's healing to give those things up. It's healing to say, this hurts, and this is why, and this is what I think should happen. It's healing to do that. It's not healing to stay there. It's not healing if you continually go over and over a situation or a scenario over and over again, thinking, I should have done that, and I could have said this, and blah, blah, blah. You drive yourself crazy doing that stuff. People do it all the time. That's where anger, wars, all kinds of fighting and battling come apart because of that. David takes it, puts it on the table in front of God and says, this is what I want, God. In verse 29, but I am afflicted and in pain. He's telling God, this is why I'm saying these things. May your salvation, O God, set me securely on high. I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. And it will please the Lord better than an ox or a young bull with hooves and horns. The humble have seen it and are glad. You who seek God, let your heart revive. For the Lord hears the need. The Lord hears the needy and does not despise his who are prisoners. None of you guys look like you're in jail to me. Not this morning. Some of you may have spent some time there. Not my problem. You're out of jail now. Stay that way. Try. Do the best you can. As prisoners, what he's talking about is the prisoners, the prison that trap us. This world is full of traps that want to ensnare us and keep us away from doing the will of God. They want to keep us away from preaching the word of God. They want to keep us away. They want me to right now be anxious and fearful about I'm going to take too long or I'm saying too much or everybody's going to fall asleep or blah, 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 blah. I'm speaking the word of God through the will of God, and that's what I get to do. What a blessing and honor it is to be able to do that. A humble man as myself, being able to do that, having an opportunity to do that. I will sing praises to the Lord. I offer myself instead of a bull, instead of something with horns. I don't have to make sacrifices of blood. Christ already did that for me. He's already taken that spot, and I don't have to. I get to sacrifice myself into the relationship with Jesus Christ that makes my world a better place. This is bringing David back to understanding. He's a prisoner to his own thoughts. He's a prisoner to his own enemies. He's a prisoner to those things that he's given power over him. When you're locked up in a jail cell, there's a lot of power there because that lock, kink, those bars, they're pretty hard. See some big, strong guys in here. I really don't think you're bending the bars on a jail cell. If you can, more power to you. You're Superman, and be my friend, please. Okay? No, but the Lord does not want us to be in prison. He wants better things for us. So with praise to God, by singing and understanding and communing to with each other and finding that spot of worship inside of you, I'm going to tell you, I don't worship in music very often. I worship sitting in my elephant's nest in my office, and the Word of God comes over me, and I am in worship with God. It is so comfortable and so peaceful. It can stifle me and keep me from doing the things I need to do about my day. But I can't stay there for a long period of time. It's overwhelming, and I can't stay there. So worship is a very special place for me. Once I'm there, I'm protected and I'm cared for. Once I'm there, I don't have to move someplace. I don't have to be in a different location. It can happen to me anywhere. The Holy Spirit comes over and takes care of that for me, and that's what He's done. He lightens my load. He takes away the bars of my prison cell, opens the door, and allows me to come forth. Verse 34, let heaven and earth praise Him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and possess it. The descendants of His servants will inherit it, and those who love His name will dwell in it. If we love the name of Jesus Christ, not just accept salvation as fire insurance, but love the name of Jesus Christ and love it to a point where it breaks our heart, good or bad, where it breaks our heart to love the Lord Jesus Christ, that relationship with God, there's nothing it can compare to that. I get to enjoy that in short spurts because my humanness, my pride, my greed, my other things from the world come in on me and consume me. But He calls me back continually, just like He's doing here, calling us back continually by praising Him. And praising Him with everything that's around me, everything I possess, everything that's in this world around me. Look for God's great beauty and great mercy and take great joy in that. That's what God wants from us. He doesn't want us to give up a bunch of stuff. He wants us to accept a lot more stuff. There's a lot of beautiful places in the world, gobs and gobs of them. There's a few peaceful places in the world as far as I'm concerned. If you go down along the Blue River Valley down there, there's something about that down there that just makes me feel comfortable and in touch with God. It's not that pretty. Most of the time it's brown or gray. The river down there is not much of a trickle, let alone a river. But there's something about that area. And I find beauty in all of the ravines and all the shattered dirt and the rocks and the gravel and the stuff, the dust. I just find this great beauty there. We should be able to locate those things in our own minds, in our own hearts, and appreciate those because they're gifts from God. With that, these gifts from God, this is what I tried to bestow on you guys today, just the knowledge of the gifts that He's got for us. And I just praise God today for this church family. Thank you for loving me so much and taking such good care of me. And I've talked longer than what I planned, but I didn't talk 3 hours. Okay? God bless you all. Thank you.